Alright, we're gonna continue our series in Joshua. I got today and I got next weekend to wrap this up. We're in chapter 24. I hope you've enjoyed this little tour through the book of Joshua. There's so much meat in this story. And remember that when we get to the 24th chapter, 23rd and 24th chapter, Joshua is dying, he's old, he's trying to mobilize the next generation so that they'll be faithful. And by the things he teaches, we immediately realize that they're already off course. They're only 10 or 20 years removed, and he's looking at the grandkids, and he's already seeing them following strange gods. He sees them doing things that are out of bounds from what God has called them to do. So when Joshua is teaching, he's not teaching in a vacuum. And I'm going to try to show you that today, that the things that he's teaching, they fit just as well into our lives today, that he's saying, here's what I see, and if you're going to follow God and you want a blessing, this is what it looks like. Now, this part, we've been up in Shiloh, we're going to move just a little bit. Again, this was not like one continuous speech. These are things that Joshua said as he was dying. But this particular part, in chapter 24, he goes to a place called Shechem, all right? Here's what Shechem looks like today. This is in north central Israel. And this is Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. Now, this is important because this goes back to Moses' day. Shechem is an ancient city. There were several million Israelites that stood right here in this valley. This is called the Mountain of Blessing. This is called the Mountain of Curses. This goes back to Deuteronomy 34. In those passages, Moses had God's word read from here. It says, you will be blessed if you do this. You will be blessed if you do this. You'll be blessed if you do that. It's a very long chapter. Then, over here, the curses were read. You will be cursed if you do this. You will be cursed if you do that. And where are the people? In the middle. And Moses is saying, God is saying, you got to make a choice. You're going to have to make a choice whose team you're on. And the geography is dramatic in the teaching here. So Joshua takes the people back to Shechem and says, guys, the team that you're on makes all the difference in the world. If you're on a losing team, guess what? You're going to... Let's try that again. Somebody just got here. If you're on a losing team, you're going to...
Lose.
If you're on a winning team, you're going to...
Win.
You get to decide. Moses said, you got to choose. You want blessings? You want curses? Joshua's going to say it again in chapter 4. Do you want to be blessed? Do you want to be cursed? Let's read the text before we get too far ahead of ourselves. Please stand out of respect for God's word. Chapter 24, verses 11 to 15. Like I said, we'll finish the chapter next week. He's reminding them of what God has done. And what I want you to pay attention to is God's I statements. All right? Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, and Jebusites. But I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you, also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow. I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build. And you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable, bad word, that should be evil. If serving the Lord seems like an evil thing to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. The gods of your ancestors that they served beyond the Euphrates, the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You can be seated. So when you're picking up teams, maybe you go back to middle school and they're picking up teams to play kickball, and you're hoping that somebody picks you. All right? Depending on the sport, maybe you got picked first, maybe you got picked last. It's a bad deal either way. Probably can't do that anymore because people's feelings and what have you. But that's how we did it when we grew up, right? And if you were good at chess, you might get picked first. If you weren't, here's the deal. We talked about last week in chapter 23 that God has already picked us. He walked the blood path for us. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid the bill, paid in full. He already chose us. That's Joshua's entire speech. Remember, God gave you this. God gave you the land. God gave you victory. God conquered the 31 kings. God did this. God did that. You're eating fruit trees you didn't plant. You're living in houses you didn't build. And you didn't do any of it. God did. Same thing with our salvation, which helps us tremendously when we start to look down at other people. You can't judge anybody else. How'd you get saved? Through the blood of Jesus. Not because you're good. Through what Jesus did. He walked the blood path on our behalf. So the teams are being chosen, but you get to choose. Do I want to be on the team of salvation or do I want to be on the losing team? He uses geography and he uses history. He talks about all these people. Now, I understand everybody's not nuts like me, and you read about the Hivites and the Girgashites and you're like, oh yeah, whatever. You want to have some fun? If you're a history buff, dig into those people. Dig into those cultures. They were huge cultures. Some of them were 50 and 60 very large fortified cities. And God said, I gave this group into your hand, this group into your hand. I. Meaning, you didn't do anything. It was always God leading the way. Amen. Oh, but we're not done yet. Then he makes this speech about the Amorite kings. You notice that one was mentioned twice. Well, the Amorite kings come up all through the Old Testament. Every time God talks about Moses or Joshua, these two Amorite kings come up. Yes, we wiped out 31 different nations and the two Amorite kings. And the two Amorite kings. Even in the prophets, Amos chapter 2 verse 9 says, there were these two Amorite kings that were as tall as a cedar tree and as solid as an oak tree. Out in the middle of nowhere. What is the big deal about these Amorite kings? That's a good question. Let me help you with that. Their names were Sihon and Og. All right? It's a great name. So if you want to look that up, last night it felt like it was, if you go home and look up Og, I feel like it was a victory for those of you that struggle with spelling. O-G, Og, okay? Og's bed, this is history, but not Bible history. Og's bed was still on display several hundred years after Og died. His bed was on display in Amman, Jordan as a tourist site. His bed was 13 feet long and 6 feet wide. No wonder it keeps coming up. God says, not only did we wipe out all these nations, but don't forget, we took out the Amorite kings too. Those two giants, those two dudes that nobody thought anybody could beat. But then he throws in another one. And you're just reading along, and he says, and how did God do it? How did God do it? He sent the hornet. So I spent 2 hours reading about the hornet this week, because I didn't think you would, so I did it for you. The normal rule of translation when you're reading a Bible passage, again, my assumption is the Bible is true, every word of it is God-inspired, so everybody said, oh, it's a sickness, it was a plague, it was this, it was that. But when you're interpreting something from a passage, you take the straight path, unless there's a reason, that, like in Amos, when he says they were as tall as a cedar tree. Does anybody think that the king was as tall as a cedar tree? No, it's meant as a metaphor. They were big. But he says God sent the hornet. So I looked it up. Hornets are indigenous to that part of the world. And we go back to Moses. God did a lot of stuff with flies and locusts and blood in the water. Why not a hornet? So the historians that are honest with what this text says is that God would send in a group of hornets. Now this, we had fun with this last night. Everybody thought they were smart. Does anybody know what a group of hornets is called? I'll buy you coffee. It is not a swarm. Last night I said a herd and was corrected. It is called a bike. B-I-K-E. A bike of hornets. This is free. No charge. All right. But they move in bikes. You rarely see one. When they build nests, they build these huge nests. And they were known to come in and destroy things. And it says, God sent the hornet ahead of you. Joshua doesn't even comment on it. He just says, you know how God gave you these nations. He sent the hornet. And he just rolls right on like he didn't even say it. Because they knew the story. Remember, this is not an army. This is a bunch of ragtag people that are out in the desert, and God's overthrowing these kingdoms that are fortified, have armies, have weapons, have chariots. But if God sent in hornets, you get bit by a few hornets, it's going to change your day. Hornet's not like a bee. A bee gets you once and the bee's gone because his stinger breaks off. Hornet is venomous, and they hit you and hit you and hit you and hit you and hit you. And it's a really bad day if you get hit with a bike of hornets. And he said, I sent the hornet ahead of you. You didn't even win the battles. God won the battles. See, Joshua is framing. He's giving them information that they all know. Just like you and I know all about Jesus. We know all about the resurrection. And yet, at times, we seem to forget. We seem to forget. I don't know if you've seen this phenomenon called speed dating. We have a picture of it here, if you've participated in this kind of event or not. But you spend just a minute or so with somebody to determine, you know, is this anything I even want to consider? And a lady was sitting there with one guy, and she asked him, she said, what do you do for a living? He said, I'm a professional blood donor. She got up and left immediately. Anybody know why? Come on, I got this last night. He wasn't her type. So Joshua makes this speech, and he tells them, God's already chosen you. God has chosen you. You have to make a decision to choose Him. Because what happens is, after a while, you begin to believe, well, yeah, I'm chosen. I'm a Christian. And you forget that you still have a choice to make. And it's a one-time choice to accept Jesus as your Savior, to be baptized. But it's an ongoing, every day, every week, every month commitment to follow Him. To live for Him. And that's where they had broken down. God had chosen them, but Joshua said, you've got to choose, guys, which way we're going to go. Which gods are you going to follow? And he challenges them because they were worshiping. It's a different word when he says, you can either keep worshiping the old gods from Babylon. You can worship the old gods from Egypt. You can worship the gods of the Amorites, or you can worship the living God who did what? He's delivered you, put you in your house, wiped out the enemy with the hornet. You get to decide which God you want. But it's two different words. The word for the living God is the word Elohim. It means the one who is above all. The other word is the word teraphim. T-E-R-A-P-H-I-M. A teraphim is a little statue made out of wood or stone. And that's what they were carrying around, and that's what they were worshiping. That's what the Egyptians had. That's what the Babylonians had. That's what the Ephesians had. And he says, literally, he says, you need to throw away those false gods. That means there's something tangible. If your God is something you can hold on to, you need to throw that away. Now, I don't think any of you have I hope you don't. I hope you don't have any statues that you're worshiping. But it can be religious stuff. It can also be a car or a house or a job or a money or a position, or it could be any number of things. But Joshua said, you've got to throw away some things before you can move forward in your thought process. Now let's take it a step further. Perhaps you've got to throw away an addiction. Perhaps you've got to throw away pornography. Perhaps you've got to throw away an alcoholic problem. I don't know what you need to throw away. But here's my quote. And TJ, if you're listening, this is your quote for Facebook. You can clip this and put it. I challenge you, because people will try. They'll say, well, you know, I did cocaine and pornography and ran wild for 30 years. I came to church 2 weekends and nothing happened. All right, here's my challenge to you. The same time and money and energy that you spent on Jim Beam and Jack Daniels, give that to Jesus Christ and let's see what happens. The same amount of time, energy, and money that you invested in Anheuser-Busch, invest that into the kingdom of God and let's see what happens. See, Joshua knew before they could move forward, they had to throw away some things. My guess is there's people here in the room got things that need to be thrown away or given away. If it's something decent, you need to just give it away. Maybe it's something you're holding on to that's that thing, that possession is keeping you from God. Sell it, give it to God. But other things you just need to throw away. And Joshua said, you need to throw away those things that are hindering your relationship with God. Get rid of the teraphim so you can worship Elohim. That's pretty direct, isn't it? Now again, why would he say that? If it's not going on right there in front of him, he's got no reason to say this. But before you can get into that next step and that next phase with God, there's probably something that's got to be thrown out. Now, I don't know how you do it at your house. But when I go home today for lunch, I'm going to walk in the door like I always do and see if every man's as good as me. I usually go and open the fridge 2, maybe 3 times. And my wife will say something like, what are you doing? What are you looking for this time? Same stuff was in there. But you know what? I will not go home and look in the trash can for dinner. Because what I put in the trash can, guess what that is? It's trash. It's trash. So I do not go out to the trash can to look for lunch. And a lot of us have got things that need to be thrown away, but instead of throwing them away, we'll go crawl into the trash can and we'll watch it, drink it, eat it, spend time with it. Have I made my point? Some things need to be thrown away. And then he says, you need to serve the Lord. He says, you're going to serve somebody. There's an old Keith Green song there. But you're going to serve somebody. Either you're going to serve the gods of the Amorites, the gods of the Babylonians. You're going to serve, which is serving yourself. You're going to serve somebody. You just get to decide who you want to serve. The word serve there means to labor. It means to sweat. We go back to our mission trips. It means going back to our day-to-day operations. Let me tell you this. This story made me prouder than anything I've heard all week, okay? And I'm not trying to embarrass the couple, but it's a great, great story. We had a couple here in the church that was going on a cruise last week. And they had talked to Keith, who's out there with the table for the Bahamas. And they were going to the Bahamas on a cruise. And they got a hold of Keith, got a hold of the missionary down there and said, what do you need? And they said, well, we've got 17 orphans that we've taken in. We have nowhere to put them, but we've taken them in. We have no sheets. We have no whatever. So they went out and spent $400 of their own money, loaded it in their luggage on the cruise ship. When they got to Nassau, they got off the boat, delivered all the goods, and spent the 2 days in Nassau putting together bunk beds for those 17 kids. My friends, that's what Christianity looks like. And listen, yes, you need to go on trips, but your neighbor is a trip too. There's a lot of ways to get this done. But when you serve the Lord, it means you're not looking for credit. You're not looking for anything. I'm here to do what God has me to do. I don't need a pat on the back. I don't need you to appreciate it. I love it when I'll go to people and say, hey, thanks for doing this. And they say, Joe, I didn't do this for you. I wouldn't do this for you. But I would do it for Jesus. That's where we want to be. So you got to serve. And then you get to this last point where he says, you got to choose, guys. We're back to the mountains. We're back to the blessing and the cursing. You've got to choose. Let's look at some pictures. Let me just do some teaching off of some pictures, all right? This is the same car, all right? This is what our life looks like without Jesus, all right? This is what happens. If you say, you know what? There's nothing there. That's what the inside of Joe looked like. It's what the inside of every one of us looks like. But when Jesus gets done, this is how the story finishes. But you got to choose. What do you want? Because if you choose to stay here, you'll just continue to rot. If you don't throw away the stuff that needs to be thrown away, you're just going to continue to rot. But if you say, you know what, it's time I throw some things away and I start serving God, let God start remaking me. Because a lot of times people think, well, God has to remake me first. No, stuff has to be thrown away first. Then you can start serving, and that's how the story ends. And obviously you see the difference in the value. What else we got? This guy's name, I think his name is Marcus. He's the owner of Home Depot. It's a good story. He's worth billions and billions. Right? Lots of B's. They asked him last year in an interview, how much are you worth? He said, I have no idea. He said, I never have measured what I have. He said, at the end of every year, what I measure is what I gave away. That'll work. He said, I only care about what I gave away. What I have is irrelevant. Pretty good Christian teaching right there. Drew Brees getting all kinds of heat this week because he told kids, middle school and high school, he said, listen, I'm a Christian. You're a Christian. Have the courage to take your Bibles to school. Take your Bible to school. Don't be afraid to read it. Don't be afraid just to carry it with you and let other people see it. That's what courage looks like, guys. And they're eating Brees up because he had the courage to take a stand for something that's right. This next picture is a lady from Finland. She's under federal indictment in Finland. A felony charge for reading Romans chapter 1 out loud. Look it up. Maybe you need to read Romans 1. It defines what marriage is. She read it out loud, and she's under federal indictment for a felony. Welcome to the 21st century and where we're headed, my friends. What else we got here? We got anything? Oh, there's NASA. Okay. I put that one in because I found this fascinating on the 50th anniversary of the moon mission. I was six, okay, when we landed on the moon, so I don't remember a whole lot of the speeches. But I was listening to this in the 50th anniversary, and they kept saying the same thing over and over again. The president, the head of NASA, Congress, whoever they were interviewing, they all said the same thing. We have a mission to go to the moon, put a man on the moon. What's the last part? And bring them back safely to Earth. Because if you don't bring them back safely, we really haven't accomplished anything. And every speech, go back and listen. Every one of them will say, our goal is to get a man to the moon and get him home safely. You see, if Jesus would have stayed in the grave, we wouldn't have a story. Because everybody dies. Right? What makes the story work is the fact that Jesus came back from the grave. So when Jesus tells us, there's a place for you. There's a resurrection day coming for you. He's lived it. Now we get to choose. Stuff that needs to be thrown away. I need to serve and start sweating. And I get to choose. Blessings, curses. Choose this day who you will serve.